I'm super excited. We actually ended up making the interview with Lance and Adam at the Home Buying Guys a two-part episode. The second part, we're going to dive into what I really like to highlight in future, which are the losses. Most of the time, every successful business person has a loss here and there. So they're going to talk about the things that maybe didn't go quite so great. They're going to talk about their most profitable flip. And we're going to talk about our journey together and how we're partnering up together to help one another grow through the Elevation Investor Alliance. So let's jump right in to today's episode on Raising the Flipping Bar. Welcome to Raising the Flipping Bar, the go-to podcast for aspiring and seasoned real estate investors. I'm your host, Derek Marlin, and I'm the CEO of Elevation. We're a real estate investment company based right here in Denver, Colorado. We'll dive into smart investment strategies, market insights, and essential tips for scaling your real estate ventures. Whether you're making your first investment or your 100th investment, this podcast is your blueprint for success in the ever-evolving world of real estate investing. Get ready to elevate your real estate game and begin your journey with me. What is a bread and butter double for you guys if you're actually doing a flip? And then maybe one person wants to take the flip question and one person wants to take the numbers on what a wholesale looks like for you guys. I know our audience would love to know in the DFW area, what's your double for a flip, and maybe run through just purchased, rehab, acquisitions, just kind of high level type details and maybe what a wholesale looks like.
A double for us on a flip would be something like ARV 400. We're going to buy it for, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but let's say we're going to buy it for 225 and we're going to put 30 to 40 into it. We're going to net around 50. Those numbers may not quite work out, but something along those lines. If we're going to net 50 to 60, that's a double for us. We would take those pretty much any day of the week. One of the things that we've kind of pivoted to is going into projects that are a little bit bigger, a little bit more intense, that we can come in and make at least that, but hopefully more than that. We're sort of looking at a triple or even a home run because it's a bigger project. So that's what we would look at in terms of a double on the flip side.
Yep. Our average wholesale fee is $15,000 to $17,000. If we're going to contract a deal, I got last week, we hit a great double. I got it's Terrell, Texas, the home of Jamie Foxx. Got a nice little 3-2 that the high school actually built in the 70s. We picked it up for 150. I put it out. We moved it for 165. And we would do that every hour on the hour if we could. I mean, and we've had the stories of the 70. We made 70K on a deal. January, I made $3,000 on a deal. That's really low for us, but that's also very common too. We're very proud of our average spread being that in that 15 range. We're trying to get it to 20, but we got to really increase our referral network because those are where our most lucrative deals are. But a double is 15K spread wholesale in the Dallas-Fort Worth market.
Perfect. Maybe one more follow-up question is, we always tell our audience actually about the bad deals too. Maybe give me your guys' worst deal on a flip and then maybe what your best deal is so they can just see the gamut. But I would love to hear that worst one first and then maybe somebody follow up with one of your best deals.
Yeah, I can give you our worst flip deal. We bought a deal here in Plano, Texas. Probably we didn't think we bought it all that bad. We thought it might have been a little bit high, but it was right at the point where the market started to change with interest rates going up. As we were finishing that house, we spent a little more money than we should have. The market started to change right at that same time as we were looking to sell it. We actually looked at maybe keeping it as an Airbnb because it was a really nice house, a $600,000 ARV house with a pool, very nice finish out. We ended up taking a loss on that house. We ended up selling it, not keeping it. We lost like $30,000 on that house when it was all said and done. That was our worst flip ever that we've ever been in. And we did get our money back out of it, but obviously we, you know, less than $30,000. Doesn't happen very often, but yeah, there's still a lot of risk in it. And what we were in the middle of in terms of the market leading up to that is that you could basically put any market on the house, especially if the flip was done very well, and get above market. We were sort of leaning on that still at that point with that house. We just didn't get it to the market quick enough before things started to change. We took a bath on that, and the market changing is something that we just could not control. And so you have to be prepared for that. You got to be able to get through those tough times every once in a while because they will happen. That's just the long and short of it on flipping.
And let's talk about our best one. It's got to be the Fox Creek house, right, Adam?
Yeah. Yeah, Fox Creek was a flip we did last year, early last year. We still probably overspent on the rehab a little bit, but we just bought this thing for a smoking deal. I mean, we paid $150 or $175? $175. Yeah, this is an $800,000 house. We paid $175 because it was a fire. It had a fire. So it was actually in my neighborhood. We direct mailed to it to find it. The executor called us and said, hey, we just got to get rid of this thing. Someone died in it. It had a fire. It's a wreck. I mean, this thing was almost a teardown. We picked it up, worked it out, and we put about $250 into it, and we netted somewhere around $190,000 at the end of the day. Nice. So that was our best flip. And, you know, it would be nice to do 10 of those a year. That's just not the case. I mean, you know, we're shooting for doubles every day, day in and day out, whether it's wholesale or flip. And sometimes you get lucky with something like that. For us, we're not afraid to take on the worst project, you know, the heaviest load. I mean, we actually would prefer that because there's going to be more opportunity to make money on those types of deals that other people may shy away from. So that was a good one. It did take a little while, but it was a good one.
It was worth it. No, that's awesome. So want to kind of dip a little bit into the retail side of things. Adam, you mentioned that that's one of your areas of focus. That's one of the ways that we obviously connected is actually being a part of the same downline, if you will, when it comes to eXp Realty. So tell me a little bit more about what you guys are trying to build from a retail perspective. And maybe somebody wants to hit the piece of the question of why did you decide to kind of go either with us and with eXp versus one of the other many brokerage options you guys had? You're super smart, you're talented, you're doing a bunch of deals. Just kind of tell me what went through your mind and how this all came together and where you want to go with this retail side of the business, because I love you guys are both investors and agents.
Yeah. So one of the things we noticed with our lead flow 4 or 5 years ago was that, you know, from time to time, there were leads coming in that were not a cash offer lead. Just they weren't going to turn into deals on the wholesale side or even a flip. So they were too close to retail. So at that point, we decided, hey, let's go ahead and get licensed. Let's go through that process so that we can convert some more of those leads to deals. And we've been doing that. You know, I wouldn't say well, but we've done a fair amount of those over the last four and a half years to really make it a viable option for us. And, you know, what that has done for Lance is also given him another tool to go into a living room to talk to a seller and give them the option of maybe retail. Lance, why don't you explain kind of how, you know, you pitched that, and then we'll circle back around on how we made that change here recently.
Yeah, you know, by nature, I'm an oversharer, right? You can ask one question and I could have talked this whole hour about, you know, whatever I wanted to. But, and so when I was learning this wholesaling game, I found it extremely difficult to walk into the living room of these families and hide MLS from them, you know? And I was talking to Adam about it. And he's like, well, we don't have to hide it. He's like, you think I should just get licensed? And I'm like, if you're willing to, that'd be great. You know, like I'm not licensed for the record. Yeah. Adam is. And so, and it's funny, you know, it's allowed me to be, you know, as a man of faith, as just a good dude, like I want to show everyone all your options, you know? And so in a room full of five cash buyers, I'm always going to pitch retail, right? Cause it allows me to keep a conversation going a week longer than the conversation the cash buyer can have that day. Right. Cause I'm going to, you know, we're going to talk through, maybe we could net 30 or 40K more. And I've got, you know, that's why we have the hybrid approach at Home Buying Guys. And you'll see behind Adam, our company motto is buying, selling, helping. And so we'll buy your house, we'll sell your house. And if you'll just trust us, we'll give everything we know about real estate away for free. We're just those kind of guys. So that's why it's been extremely impactful for us is to not hide that. In 2019, 2020, everything sold on MLS, everything. Yeah. And so, I mean, and you could sell and you could close in 30 days. And so to act like that wasn't the situation I thought was misleading. And so that was a real pivotal point for us because by the time we were licensed and ready to go, that's exactly when COVID happened and all of these iBuyers backed out and we were able to list those properties. We had like six listings in those first 2 months of Adam's license being active. Because we were helping sellers get in that middle range that was too high for a cash deal you know, for an investor to take a shot on, but we were able to price competitively and sell it at MLS, at the MLS level. But yeah, it's extremely important, but it has to be done the right way. You know, I think you have to be experts at both, and we're having to be very hypercritical on how we train our sales team on this. We've learned that a lot of agents that are interested in what we do, in our experience, you know, they get infatuated with the wholesale side, and we're like, no, dude, I need you to go move MLS deals and preferably your own deals. I I've got my leads over here, you know, so I need you to put some meat on the table too. And so it's been an interesting journey with us understanding how we want to work the business, but to find people to understand it the way Adam and I do and how we want to go to market, it's not easy. And that's what led us to you cornering us over this opportunity. And that's what kind of the kicker of us giving a shot, you know, moving forward is the ability to recruit the right people with the right brand and all of that. And I'll let you go into that more, Derek.
Yeah. Perfect. Adam, I'd love to kind of hear a little bit maybe through your thought process of where you guys went and why you went the direction that we're kind of working on together. And what I would love to also say is let's, you know, mark this as first quarter of 2024. Let's all come back on and do another podcast a year and just see not only where businesses grow, but where this brokerage relationship grows. Because with the Elevation Investor Alliance, it's like, we're all just going to start to scratch the surface. We're working with really smart people. There's so many things we can share and do together and all grow together. That's the other thing that I love about this is I found that, especially on more of the retail side, people were so weirdly competitive and secretive when it was like, oh, well, I'm at Keller Williams, and so I'm not going to give you my magical secrets from RE/MAX. It's like, let's not bullshit each other. We're selling houses here. Like, we're not doing brain surgery. And I always say that, and I kind of laugh, mostly because one of my good friends is a neurosurgeon. And when he has bad days, people literally die after 16 hours worth of surgery. So like, if something kind of goes sideways, again, I don't mean to minimize it because it's people's lives and it's houses and it's important, but we can all be giving, we can be sharing. So I'm just curious to kind of hear where, you know, you're most interested, where you guys think we can go with this. And then let's just get back on a year and let's recap.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for us moving forward, we see the power on the retail side. We know that's a benefit. We think we have a very unique competitive advantage here in Dallas-Fort Worth in that, you know, we deal with bad houses and rough houses all day, every day. We're really, really good at that. That makes us really, really set up. We're set up really, really well to be able to negotiate inspection repairs. We know it all. I mean, there's not one thing that we haven't seen on a house almost. I mean, there's probably one thing, but for the most part, we were probably the best negotiators at inspection repairs of any agent in this area. I can be pretty confident in saying that. And so we use that to our advantage. You know, we'll go in and talk to sellers and say, listen, we know your house isn't perfect. No, you don't need to fix it up. We'll just adjust the price accordingly and get it sold for you so that you have less out of pocket, less stress, et cetera, et cetera. So we know that we are very good at that. What we've struggled with a little bit is being able to train other people, in that same approach to actually come in and be part of our team. And so the one thing that we saw joining, you know, you guys and EXP is giving us the ability to expand that reach to try to pull in some additional realtors that can see our vision and join our team. Not that everybody has to be hyper focused on selling houses that are not perfect, but we know that that's a potential competitive advantage that we have. So we see the ability, you know, to also cross platform investor with retail, with what you're doing at EXP and your business. And we want to do the same thing. We think there's a lot of advantages going forward, with the retail and investment side crossing over as we go along. And I think that's going to continue to increase as we move along and people get even more familiar with the investment and wholesale side. And there's a lot of realtors that hold deals, you know, that have right. connections and networks that we would like to tap into and get our branding out to. So, you know, we don't see it as a division between investment, wholesale versus retail in the future. We see it as a complete collaboration between the two sides. And, you know, with all the legislation and lawsuits going on, that might even get more convoluted and crossed over as you know, those things start to get unpacked and get resolved. So, you know, I think the EXP brand for us and you guys specifically are going to help us grow our team and help us share our vision for what we're doing here locally. And we're excited because we think there's a lot of opportunity there. We think we're just scratching the surface, and really it's just been me doing it. And I need some people to take that off my shoulders. You know, the one thing that we also, you know, have in our back pocket is we have the leads. I mean, we have retail leads,
right?
You know, there are, I think the average realtor does like 6 deals a year in the US. I probably have 12. I mean, I have 4 listings myself right now that I would love somebody else to work. So, yes. And it's only March 7th. So, I mean, we've got the leads, and that's a powerful thing to be able to recruit agents with. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, love it. Want to be sensitive to your guys' time, so I kind of have one final question as we get ready to wrap up. Maybe either one of you guys can take it, or you're both welcome to chime in. But something we're really trying to help our audience with is, you know, we all got kind of caught in the grind, meaning what are we doing every day to try to move our business forward, whether it's a one man or one woman or person show, or whether it's a well-oiled 75-person machine. Is there something that you guys do? And this really comes from the book called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, and it's working on your business versus working in your business. So to me, you know, working in the businesses, you get up, you've got appointments, you've got emails you've got to do, you've got to have your, you know, your call with your bookkeeper, versus working on your business is what are you doing where you're trying to zoom out from a 30,000 foot perspective and do something that is maybe very important, but not urgent at that given point that maybe might take 6 months to pay off. Is there something you guys kind of lean on and do on the business versus in the business?
Yeah, let me start with that, and then Lance can finish that up. For me, I mean, I can do every task and everything that we do in this business, I can do it. I can do it all. If I had to go run appointments in the living room, I could do it. If I needed to run a new lead source, I could do it. But that doesn't empower our team to move forward. And for us, you know, we really subscribe to the theory of things break at ones and threes. You know, things break at $100 and $300 in terms of owning and growing a business. Things break at $100,000 and $300,000. And then they break again at $1 million and $3 million. We've been stuck at that $1 million gross revenue number for a couple of years now. And it really has taken us a lot of reflection to be able to take a step back, break that down, figure out what we need to do to increase the right team members to basically go up above and beyond that $1 to now $3 million level. So for me, it's more about, you know, not partaking in those tasks, but training our staff to do that and giving them the tools to know how to go do those things so that, you know, they can become experts at their particular department or role or task. And that way it's not dependent on, you know, Lance or I to do all those things. If Lance and I continue to do all the work, then we're always going to be stuck at a certain level. And that's what we're trying to avoid. So, you know, the biggest thing for us is really, one, bringing in good people, and then two, training them and giving them the opportunity to sort of make it their own and handle those tasks and fulfill those roles and do it successfully, with our support.
Love it.
Yeah.
What about you, Lance?
For me, you know, I'm living my worst nightmare. You know, we would have, I need to get to it quickly. That sounds like a weird way to start the story. But, you know, as we would have success at Home Buying Guys, I would call Adam and I would be like, dude, remind me where we're taking this thing. And I'd be like, you're not going to make me a sales manager, are you? Because I always just loved being the sales guy that, you know, cashed the big checks and didn't need the base salary. And you know, I never wanted to be the sales manager. Now I'm a sales manager. And so,
Hold on. Actually, you're a vice president. You're not a sales manager. So you
that's
buy
right. Yeah. You get promoted.
I'm vice president, sales manager, Lance Doty. No,
love it.
But no, it's good, right? Like we're doing what we set out to do, and it's going to take me, I've got to take what's inside of my experience and my in what I know, and I've got to put it into trainings. I've got to put it to where it can be replicated. And but not, you know, I don't need another Lance. I need someone to be 70% of Lance, right? I need like 10 of them. And then that way I can just really harp on Adam and our COO going, where's the leads? I got the guys, where's the leads? You know, and so but I think the biggest thing is in Adam and I, we you know, Trevor, we've talked about him a couple of times. He's a big mentor of ours. And he always talks about, you know, okay, here's your goals, right? And we have that. We've got the 1 year and the 3 year plan. We know where we're going. We're going to get 2 million at the end of this year, and we'll be at 5 million at the end of year three. We know what the marketing spend is going to be to get there. We know everything. And the one thing that that Trevor talks about though, is are you the person, are you working on the person you need to be a $2 million wholesale company? To be a 5 year, you know, wholesale fee company, you know, and so that's where I'm having to challenge myself. You know, I mentioned 9 to 9 earlier. I used to be able, if I got to the office at 9, I could work on what I was working on. Now we're in this communal growing pain office space, so I really just have to sit there and answer questions. I mean, I don't get anything done for myself in that room, so I usually just pick up the phone and make sales calls alongside the staff. Because if I try to work on anything that's not a sales call, I mean, it's interrupted with questions or other initiatives or things. So, so I'm having to kind of like learn what that looks like and get to the office or get that time done before I leave for the day at the home office of what we're working on, either for our apartment complexes or just big picture stuff. The big picture stuff I need to be doing every day in terms of working on my business is I need to be in front of spheres of influence. I need this brokerage to know what Home Buying Guys does. I need this probate law firm to know how we can help sellers. I need, instead of just, you know, being in that one-to-one living room all the time, I've got to evolve to where my staff can handle those meetings. And then I can handle the room that's got 25, you know, realtors in it. And I've got to do that 5 times a week, you know, but it's really easy to, you know, my schedule this afternoon, we just got an appointment in Singer. So now I'm going to Singer and then to Fort Worth. And while I'm in there, I'm trying to lock up another meeting, you know, so now my schedule is completely changed, but I've got a new acquisition guy that he needs to see how we run these appointments. He needs to see me do it 100 times, just like I saw Adam do it 100 times before I was ready to go on those appointments on my own. So, yeah, there's a mouthful there, but you know, we're doing it.
Yeah, no, that's really well said. Man, you guys, I really appreciate you guys being on. What I would love to kind of end this with is please give our audience the places and the ways they can find you. Because again, even though they're doing it in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, they're expanding into San Antonio and Oklahoma City, and the Home Buying Guys are going to be everywhere here shortly. Tell people how they can get in touch with you guys.
I'm an Instagram guy, so I got to start with the gram. At Home Buying Guys on the gram. Please follow Facebook, like us there. YouTube, we've got an awesome YouTube library, guys. 190 videos of fixes and flips that we've done. Demo jobs, Adam answering questions on like how to find a serial number on your mobile home. That's our most watched video, believe it or not. So please subscribe to us on YouTube. And then my email is lance@homebuyingguys.com. And Adam's is adam@homebuyingguys.com. If you're inspired or you have some questions, please reach out. We would love to have a relationship with anyone that's going to listen to a podcast of this caliber, because Derek's one heck of a dude and doing this the right way. We haven't started a podcast yet because we saw what Derek's looked like and we're like, okay, let's get away. We're not ready yet.
You're ready.
Thanks, Derek.